Hi, this is Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram on the Earl Ingram Show. We've got a couple of callers in, and Sam, how do other people call in? What's the information they need?
Yeah, thanks again for joining us here on 101 FM The Shaw and 540 AM WAUK. You give us a call. You can even give us a text, and I'll screen you, and we'll hear what you have to say here at 844-967-2789. And we had Tom on the line with us.
Hey, Tom. So before the break, you were talking about a lot of things, and it's things you've talked about before, but it seems like it's coming at a time when there's a confluence of, a bunch of issues are joining right at a junction point. We've got inflation, we've got the war in Ukraine, we've got student loans, we've got a lot of things that are driving our policies. But the one thing you talk about a lot is the fact that the people are the taxpayers, and we need a government that delivers back to the people what they need. I've spent a lot of time on this show talking about child daycare, about sort of the giving the birthright to everybody born into this country of an equal opportunity to participate, which would include child daycare, would include health care, would include free, accessible education of a high quality. And if we did those things, it seems to me that our country would get everyone off, each generation off on the right foot. And we wouldn't have, for instance, this student debt problem that people are now looking at and trying to address. We wouldn't have this healthcare problem like we every time we turn around, we've got a huge issue that's associated with it. COVID uncovered a huge problem with our healthcare system. We have a retirement problem, which might not be a problem if we had everyone participating effectively in the economy. So that the reason I mentioned this is because you mentioned the fact that we spend so much money on our defense. And my view is that one of the horrors of the Ukrainian conflict right now is that we've got everyone in Washington talking about increasing our defense expenditures at a time when our defense expenditures are ginormous, and at a time when those defense expenditures seem to make it impossible for us to address things like child daycare, preschool education, maternity leave, all the things that would need to be addressed if this country was really focused on families and family values. So I do appreciate your mentioning. And the other confluence I think that comes in there is money and politics, which of course is behind a lot of what the policies are that our government enacts. And if we have a problem with our government policies, we probably have a problem with the extent to which there's money in politics. And money in politics has been aggravated by, the Supreme Court decision, Citizens United. And now we're on the eve of another Supreme Court decision, which has the potential to turn our society kind of inside out. So, we had a decision which happened kind of quietly as far as the press was concerned, Citizens United, which in retrospect has had a huge effect socially on our country and politically on our country. And now we're on the eve of another Supreme Court decision. And so I have a question in my mind, how well the Supreme Court, which is a highly revered institution in our country, how well is it going to weather the fact that in the past 25 years, it's rendered decisions which have kind of turned our society inside out? So I appreciate you bringing these things up because I think they're important.
You mean the nine officials that are nine kings that were never even elected by the people? Yeah, I know. And also the two presidents that elected six Supreme Court justices that never even had the majority of the people voting for them. That's another thing to remember.
Well, I mean, the Supreme Court was a kind of a carefully conceived institution, which has been relatively effective over its life. I mean, it's constantly been every 25 years, it's taken part in a very controversial decision, going all the way back to Plessy Ferguson and a number of others. But now we've got a situation where the Supreme Court is manned by through a process of nomination and then consent and affirmation by the Senate, and that's obviously had a thumb pressing heavily on the scales by the nature of the process that particularly the Conservative Party, is used for confirmation. I guess we have another caller. Sam, we have another caller.
Yeah, we also have Debbie calling in. What's on your mind today, Debbie?
Thank you. I would like to look at the younger generation in terms of economics and their future. When you think of the Z generation that is graduating with tremendous debt, we know that most of the jobs in the future have not even been invented yet or come about yet. How can these young people prepare for a future that they don't know? And many of them are from lower income families that didn't have the advantage of a nest egg that middle income families receive from their parents, no debt, etc. So whether somebody is low income or of some means, how do we help our young people with a future that is so uncertain?
Well, I think that Debbie, you hit on a key problem. It was a change in our economy. It used to be that when people went out into the job market, they were looking for a job they might hold for life, and the employer that they went to talk to was prepared to train them for what was required to carry out the job, and then they would receive on-the-job training, and they were not required to enter the job market knowing everything they needed to know to get their job. And I think Sam pointed out the problem. Current graduates, when they go out on the job market, need to have a resume that shows that they know how to do everything that is required in the job. And the first question that the employer asks is, what's your experience? And how can I be sure that you know how to do what we're going to be asking you to do? And of course, when you come out of college, it's very hard to have that. So we've got, this problem of internships, and it really is sort of an indentured servitude that's been set up as a process for people to meet the requirements of their resume, and people are taken advantage of in that regard. In this question of the rapidly evolving technology and how it is that the jobs of the future don't even exist today, and maybe the technology that's required or the knowledge that's required doesn't exist, that has to do with, and that's existed all the way along. When we got out of school, when I got out of school, we didn't have laptop computers. We didn't have all the sorts of technology that we have today that facilitated the employment that we needed to know how to do in order to be employed. We learned along the way, and we evolved along the way. And some of the reason we were able to evolve like that is because we were trained well in school to do critical thinking. And we weren't trained to do a specific job. We were trained to learn how to think analytically so that we could move forward in the face of problems that were presented to us. And one of the things that I think is worrisome about today's notion is that people go to college to get trained specifically for specific jobs. And in that process, they might lose this capacity for analytical thinking, for facile evolution in the workplace, so that they can be nimble and employable well into the future. And I think you've highlighted something that is a problem in our education and is a problem for the students getting out. Sam is nodding her head because it is a serious problem for young people. And you're right that they're going to need to be very facile and nimble and either being trained to do that. And well, you've identified some problems we can talk about after the break. We've got a break coming up now.
Auntie, use me up.